Mental Health Monday on Radio City Talk with Mick Coyle.
Radio City Talk.
Good afternoon. Welcome along to Radio City Talk. This is Liverpool Live. David Easton in for Mick Coyle this week. And Jake Mills is in the studio with us. Good afternoon, Jake.
Hello. How are you?
I'm all right. Getting through. We're nearly there.
Do you reckon Mick's listening? I don't.
I reckon he's listening every single second. he'll be taping it somewhere. Home taping is killing music, mate. Don't do it. Yesterday on the show, Mental Health, this is Mental Health Extra, obviously. Jake from Chasing the Stigma. Discuss a few bits and pieces that came up from yesterday's, and which is obviously available on the podcast as well. And what we were talking about yesterday was mental health funding in schools. That's one of the big issues on the podcast, which the MP Luciana Berger has been talking about, and the cuts that have really been affecting some of our local schools.
Yeah, and you know, I met with Luciana last week, and I myself am a trustee of YPASS as well, who they were discussing. So I'm I am seeing the impacts of these cuts and actually what it's doing. And you know, yesterday was Luciana talking about it on a local level, but this is a national problem. This is the same problems that Luciana was discussing about the waiting lists, about how that can be from weeks to months to 18 months to years. You know, it's a national problem, and it needs to be addressed on a national level. And it's really kind of bizarre, really, that it's been allowed to get to this state. And, you know, what we keep seeing, and people are asking me, you know, we're seeing a change. People are talking about mental health more. You know, people are kind of having that conversation. People are more aware of it. But actually, not a lot other than that awareness has changed. And arguably, we're in a worse position now because people are aware and people now are turning for help. And that help necessarily isn't there, or it's not as good as it could be. So it is a major problem, and it was kind of, it's nice to have somebody like Luciana who was really trying to take the government to task with this by speaking about it in the House as well, and being quite unapologetic in her approach. But it needs somebody like that, and it needs a lot of us behind it to really shine a light on the devastating impacts that it's having.
Because, like you say, there is more awareness now, and that seems to have drawn some at least good language from the government, but it doesn't seem to be being backed up in that. If anything, it's going backwards.
It is. You know, we're talking about cuts that have just happened. We're talking about cuts that are having that effect, particularly on YPASS at the moment. The cuts that you're talking about, Liverpool City College, you know, these are things that are happening now, and it's all well and good having politicians and government say that they take it serious, that they want to, you know, put some money in 3 years' time, 4 years' time, or opposition saying, vote for us and we'll do this. It's about the people now. It's about the people who need help now, and the need to turn to help and not getting it because the cuts that are being inflicted right now as we speak are having that effect. It's just not good enough.
And I know we heard about the college in particular, but also the numbers involved are quite startling, really, aren't they? Because they've got, obviously got a lot of students, but the percentage of them who have some kind of issue, and the ones who are in towards crisis point, it's amazing, really, isn't it?
It is, and, you know, I think it was Elaine Balker who was talking about, I think she said at one point, you don't flick a switch and you stop looking after people, or it stops becoming an issue once they get to college. I'd go one further than that, and I would say actually that's when it becomes even more important, or the stresses become so kind of heavy out of nowhere, especially for people who, if it's the first time kind of taking on that responsibility away from school, the pressures that you've got, the social media pressures that people have got, it's actually more important now than ever to be getting that across in schools and colleges and universities. The pressure that people are under now is beyond what any of us have known. It's people and teenagers are living lives like celebrities at the minute, in the sense that they're being judged from all over the world.
Yeah, something that's actually it's come up on the show a couple of times this week. Speaking to Les Stewart this morning about education, just saying that actually it's not just college, it's not just school. You're talking primary school children who are showing these kind of stresses and strains, not just of education, but as you say, the modern world in general is just getting to them.
Les Stewart was a teacher, one of my teachers. Nice guy, isn't he?
He's very nice.
I made him cry once on our... when. Not in a bad way, but it was our leaving. It was our leaving day.
You didn't do it for a bet.
No, he was retiring that night as well. And I said, I had a drink and told him how great he was, and he cried. He'd probably never remember me, but I
bet
remember
he would.
That. Do you reckon?
They have this encyclopedic knowledge of I imagine you stood out.
A student made him cry. Yeah, that probably does happen. In a nice way, but it is really important. And you know, I've said this time and time again, but we talk about stigma. We talk about this thing that's preventing people from seeking help. It's if you replace the word stigma with ignorance, that's exactly what it is. And if you're not teaching people, if you're not, for me, it's what the guys from Trainee to Educate said as well. It's educating and preparing people for life. It's preparing children for life. It's not about having a conversation with a four-year-old about suicide, but it's talking about feelings, your emotions, things that any of us can go through at any given time. And as a dad, I can't imagine... When you're looking at your children and you're saying, I'm going to prepare them for life, about all the things that they might come across, how to defend themselves, all that stuff that you might think, looking after your mental health is part of that. Looking after your mental health is preparing people for life. And again, it's like what the lad said yesterday. But if you went out in the street and you said to the majority of people that you came across, tell me one thing that comes to your mind when I say mental health, I'd say the majority of them would say something negative. They would say depression. They would say anxiety. They would say suicide. Not many of them, I would say it's health. It's being happy. It's being fit, it's looking after yourself. And that's what it is. So it's about changing that conversation. It's all well and good that we're talking about mental health, but we have to be talking about it as a good thing as well as if it ever gets bad as well.
And also, as the lads from Trainee to Educate said yesterday, it is about not just changing your attitudes, like you say, in a negative way, do this and this bad thing won't happen to you. It's like, well, just do this and you'll feel better.
Exactly.
And generally in life. So to get to the primary school children as they're trying to do, I think particularly looking at the way, I mean, they've even started their own allotment now and they're growing their own vegetables and things. And it just seems like, I mean, it's a lot for them to attack, but they're doing it in the right way.
They are, they're doing it. And what I think is always the most important thing is being passionate about it. And they're passionate about it because they're seeing the effects that it's having. Some of the things that they said, well, I'm actually looking on my phone to show you a picture now. And I don't make a habit of showing men pictures of me half naked, but I'm going to make an exception right now because...
At least you're half clothed.
but I'm going to show you this picture, which is a picture of me just as... not too far after my suicide attempt when I came out of that depression. And that's a picture of me at that time when I am a lot more overweight than I currently am now.
Yes.
I was overweight, and the reason for that was, you know, whether it was partly the medication I was on, but it wasn't looking after myself. It was eating whatever I wanted, and it was falling into that spiral of basically almost like a form of that kind of self-abuse of not caring about myself, not caring about my body. And the more weight I put on, or the less I exercised, the less that I'd done, the more I kind of... the further in that depression I became, and it was a really horrible vicious circle. And so I'm a big advocate of what they were doing and what they're talking about in terms of looking after your mind, but looking after your body. Of course, they are totally related. Your physical and your mental health are related. If you're looking after yourself physically, mentally, you will feel better as well, and vice versa. So I think the work that they were doing, but more importantly, the passion that they had, was really, really spoke volumes to me about that power of the people who can actually go out and make a difference. We're talking about how the government are making these cuts and restricting these services, but then you've got people like those two lads. Sorry, what were they, Ethan and
Joel Smith,
and they were just they I'm I just think that they're advocates of what you can do as people and have people powered. And
using social media in a positive way, though, it's always seen as a massive negative in people's lives. But actually, if young kids are, or anyone is kind of hooked into this and kind of tap into that positivity that they've got, I mean, it's amazing just being in the same room as them. It's just kind of electric between the two of them because of being brothers as well. They bounce off each other.
Yeah, I like to like listen to when they're like, yeah, and they're both trying to get in at the same time.
And I'm sat thinking, oh, you just carry on. I don't mind. That's fine.
Yeah, but it was because I think, yeah, we are scared, or you know, certainly some people are scared of social media and the negative effects of that. But at the same time, it's not going to go away. So it's about learning how we use it, how we use it for the positive, and how we kind of, you know, can use that to our advantage as well, because it can be.
Yeah, but they're talking about trying to get what they do on the curriculum, almost, you know, into schools. And what they do is that it's quite a lot of time that they take from a school week. But they were right in saying that they try and get into schools before the big exam weeks or whatever, and just say, well, you know, then they can't learn anything more in this week or two. They're probably revising at home anyway. Let the schools, you know, give them a couple of hours on a Monday or a Wednesday or even through the week, as I say, and just take them away from it, but also do something that is educating them in a different way.
Yeah, and it's going to have the effect, the positive effect it will have on their mental health will benefit everybody. It'll benefit the schools, it'll benefit the students. They'll, you know, that revision when you're stuck in a room just trying to read the same page over and over again, what really are you learning from that? You know, you get to a certain point when it's like, I'm not taking anything else in. So it's about that kind of, it can be mutually beneficial to everybody. And yeah, I just, again, it's about preparing people for life. It's about preparing kids for life, knowing how to cook, knowing how to look after themselves, knowing the things that they can do to help themselves. That's really important.
And just quickly, the final part was a action-packed fun cast. No, that's different. A podcast. It is fun, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
This Dad Can, just talking about the mental health. For dads, very often an overwhelming experience. Pretty sure Mick is overwhelmed in some way, whether he has been forced to buy more nappies this week, or it can be incredibly stressful. I was going to say first couple of months, but years of being a dad can be such a stress.
Yeah, I'm particularly kind of passionate about the mental health of dads as well, because I think it's a really strange time for dads, especially first-time dads. I think pregnancy is a really difficult time for dads as well, kind of mentally and emotionally, because it's hard to connect with something that's not there, that you can't imagine. And then suddenly the first time that you get to make that connection and relationship is as the baby is being handed over to you, which, as I said, for the first time, Dad, is really kind of difficult. And also the expectations of what you've got to do and how you're meant to feel. So this Dad Can is again another example of the people power and how people can make a difference by just coming together and being willing to help each other. That's so important and so powerful, just wanting to help other people, and that experience that you can share is really powerful.
Because you're right about pregnancy, actually, just to think about that, because it's, you know, this is coming, you know, it's and you know how many months it's probably going to be, and you've got to prepare for it in some way, and whether that's financially or the house that you're in, or just be having all the clothes ready and do some decorating, it just piles up and up. And that's beyond the whole thing of don't drop it when it's handed over to you.
Yeah, exactly. It's a you know, I've only got one child at the minute, but I say at the minute, like that's, I don't know if that was the right phrase to use at the minute. I'm not going to get one in another minute.
Well, you know, unless you're surprised you've only got one, there's more out there.
At the moment, I have one. Moment, okay. But, you know, so I don't know whether it would be different when you have a second or a third or a fourth, but certainly for that first time, it's impossible to really emotionally kind of prepare yourself for that. So, yeah, it's tapping into that experience and knowing that actually you don't have to feel certain ways if you don't naturally, that's okay.
Jake, we've run out of time. But quickly tell us about you've got the Hub of Hope, haven't you?
Yeah, we've got the Hub of Hope, which is a national database showing the help that's available around the country. Big shout out to the Independent Liverpool and the Press Brothers Coffee at the Baltic Market, who are using the coffee cup sleeve for the Hub of Hope to try and spread that message out there as well, to say that you're never alone. There is help out there, and you never have to go through anything on your own.
Excellent stuff. Thanks for coming in, Jake. Great to speak to you. And don't forget, the Mental Health Monday podcast is out there as well from all your usual podcast providers.
Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle
on Radio City Talk.